Well, thank you very much, and welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting for February the 22nd. I'd like to acknowledge that Councilmember Glover is absent because he's ill. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation by the very Reverend Father James Cole with St. Ignatius Orthodox Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance that will be led by Councilmember Thompson. Please stand for the prayer and the pledge.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, O Heavenly King, comfort of the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury, blessing, giver of life, come and abide in us, cleanse us from every stain, and save our souls, O good one. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy and grant life, peace, health, salvation, visitation, furtherance in all good things to our president, our civil authorities, our armed forces. Extend your hand from on high and bless this city council, remembering Mayor John and Vice Mayor Dennis and the council members Dave, Alex, Christopher, David, and Kevin and their families, that they may lead quiet and peaceable lives, godly and respectful in every way. And we pray for the people here present, the people that are represented here in the city, and for the meeting here tonight. Grant wisdom, courage, and unity to the citizens of Mesa, that we may lead calm and peaceful lives in dignity and sanctity. For you are a great God, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Coles, and thank you, Councilmember Thompson, for helping us get started. The first item on our agenda is the reading of the consent agenda. I invite Mr. Kevin Christopher to come forward and read the consent agenda. Kevin.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. These are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, the blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for St. Bridget Catholic Church, one-day religious event, Saturday, March 5th, 2213 North Lindsay Road. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Sun Sounds Foundation, one-day charitable event, Saturday, April 2nd, 2330 West Rio Salado Parkway. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for the Care Fund, one-day charitable event, Saturday, April 9th, 10,100 East Ray Road. Item 3D, act on liquor license application for Ultimate Imaginations, one-day charitable event, Saturday, March 5th, on McDonald from Main Street to First Avenue. Item 3E, act on liquor license application for Arizona Humane Society, one-day charitable event, Friday, March 4th, 10,100 East Ray Road. Item 3F, act on liquor license application for Sun City Area Interfaith Services Incorporated, one-day charitable event, Thursday, March 17th, 1452 South Ellsworth Road. Item 3G, act on liquor license application for Sunland Springs Snack Bar, 11061 East Medina Avenue. Item 3H, act on liquor license application for Big Sticks Fine Cigars, 1907 West Main Street. Item 3I, act on liquor license application for Grab and Go, 4360 East Broadway Road. Item 3J, act on liquor license application for Mercado Mi Pueblo, 103 West 8th Avenue. Item 3K, act on liquor license application for La Crab Shack, 1948 West Broadway Road. Item 4A, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for services for solid waste disposal, recyclable material processing, and vegetative waste processing for the Environmental Management and Sustainability Department. Item 4B, act on contract to purchase two replacement sedans for the Fire and Medical Department. Item 4C, act on three-year term contract for overhead door maintenance and repair services for the Parks, Recreation, and Community Facilities Department. Item 4D, act on three-year term contract for video surveillance equipment and parts for the Police Department. This purchase is funded by the Life Cycle Program and 2015 Edward Byrne Justice Assistance Grant Program. Item 4E, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for Hawk Equipment Maintenance Repair and Supplies for the Water Resources Department. Item 4F, act on one-year renewal of the term contract for uninterruptible power supplies, products, maintenance, and repair services for the Water Resources Department. Item 5A, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to accept a grant award from the Arizona Automobile Theft Authority for the Police Department's purchase of license license plate reader analytical software and data subscription. Item 5B, act on resolution extinguishing a portion of an easement for a water line and a portion of an easement for a sewer line at 1255 East Southern Avenue. The property owner made the request. Item 5C, act on resolution extinguishing a 20-foot sewer line easement at Escobedo at Verde Vista Phase 2, 450 North Hibbert. The developer made the request. Item 5D, act on resolution extinguishing a vehicular non-access easement on lot 407 of Ridgeview Unit 3C. The property owner made the request. Item 5E, act on resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of utility systems revenue refunding bonds, Series 2016. Item 5F, act on resolution authorizing the defeasance and redemption of a portion of the city's outstanding utility systems revenue bonds, Series 2006. Item 5G, act on resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of general obligation refunding bonds, tax-exempt, Series 2016A. Item 5H, act on resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of general obligation refunding bonds, taxable, Series 2016B. Item 6A, act on resolution approving and authorizing the sale of city-owned property located at 129 East University Drive to Save the Family Foundation of Arizona for construction of a conference center and authorizing the city manager to execute the necessary documents. Item 6B, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a development agreement with Save the Family Foundation of Arizona for construction of a conference center located at 129 East University Drive. Item 7A, introduction of ordinance regarding Z15-033, 2210 West Southern Avenue, located west of Dobson Road, on the north side of Southern Avenue, a rezone and site plan review to allow development of commercial space with a drive-through. Item 7B, introduction of ordinance regarding Z16-022, 1728 South Greenfield Road, located south of US 60 on the west side of Greenfield Road. Request for council use permit to allow installation of a multi-tenant freeway landmark monument sign within the Greenfield Gateway Commercial Center. Item 7C, introduction of ordinance regarding Z16-005, the 1200 block of South Crisman Road, located south of Southern Avenue on the east side of Crisman, a rezone and site plan modification to allow for development of a restaurant with a drive-through. And item 8A, act on ordinance adopting schedule of terms, rates, fees, and charges for city-owned solid waste utility service, allowing for multi-year solid waste service agreement discounts for business and commercial establishments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Christopher. Ms. Mickelson, do we have any requests to speak on items on the consent agenda?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Council, there's been a motion made by the Vice Mayor, seconded by Mr. Luna, to approve the consent agenda. Please cast your vote. The vote is unanimous with Councilmember Glover absent. The next item on our agenda is item 9. This is to discuss, receive public comment, and take action on an ordinance and resolution related to property located in the 6400 block of East Test Drive. There are two different agenda items here, agenda item 9A and 9B. I'm going to propose that we discuss both items together, and then we'll vote on them separately. We do have several folks that have asked to speak, but if you don't mind, we'll begin by having the applicant step forward, Ms. Riddell, after which we'll hear from the folks that have asked to speak.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. For your records, Wendy Riddell with the law firm of Barry Riddell, 6750 East Camelback. It's my pleasure to finally be here on behalf of Cardinelli. We are here today requesting elimination of a stipulation, Stipulation 16, to permit the development of a new automotive dealership. We're also asking for elimination of a stipulation to allow us to include a better lighting solution than was originally anticipated. Now, I know it's probably a little concerning when someone who gets paid by the hour starts out with a table of contents in their presentation, but I promise I will keep it very snappy. I think there's really three topics that I want to be sure to hit on tonight in front of the council, which is to explain the amount of neighborhood outreach that we have undertaken here, and how this proposal responds to the neighbors' concerns, and frankly, why this proposal is good for Mesa. We have done a substantial amount of neighborhood outreach, actually beginning back in May of 2014. It has been nearly 2 years for me to get to this dais here tonight. What you see is a number of open houses and public meetings. Of course, there has also been numerous calls, emails, one-on-one meetings with neighbors. This outreach resulted in four separate formal submittals that were made. This was the very first submittal that was made. You'll see where we started, initially trying to take into account the history here on the site and the neighbors' concerns by establishing a third of an acre of a landscaped open space right at the entry, orienting the buildings away from the condominium association, and locating all the service components as far from the condos as possible. This is where we started. Some of the input that we received resulted in our second formal submittal, where we again show a third of an acre of landscaped open space at the entry, where we'd move the buildings further to the west. This was the request, move them as far away as we functionally could, and then design the buildings to be more office-like. There was a continued request for office. This still met, frankly, with opposition and resulted ultimately in our third formal submittal, what we lovingly call the out-of-the-box plan. And I will tell you with this one, frankly, we really thought that we had addressed each and every concern that the neighbors had raised. If you'll drill down a little bit further, what we actually proposed with this solution was the abandonment of Test Drive, which is a track, to create a private entry for the condominium association and to create a segregated, separate entry for the auto malls. I would mention at fairly great expense, there's quite a bit of drop-off there as you come in from Superstition Boulevard. But the idea was really to address the neighbors' concerns that had been expressed to us, continue to include landscaped buffer, continue to try to incorporate an office-like feel in the building. But frankly, the feedback that we continued to receive from the condominium association was that they wanted this to be a park. And what you see here in front of you is actually an exhibit that they created, that they presented to the city, suggesting that my client should not only develop this as a public park, but should donate it to the city of Mesa. The other consistent theme that we heard a lot about a promise. A promise in 2001 where the applicant agreed in a zoning case to a stipulation limiting the uses on the site to C2 to create an appropriate land use transition. And I want to focus for a minute on C2 because I think there's been a lot of misinformation here that somehow this was intended to just be a park. And what I show you right here, what you see on the PowerPoint, is the specific stipulation that we're here tonight asking to change. When you look at C2, this is just an example of some of the uses that are permitted by right in C2. This is what was actually proposed as the appropriate land use transition. Things like automobile service and repair, business, commercial entertainment, bars, clubs, lounges, tattoo and body piercing, funeral parlors, and of course, retail. Ultimately, we come to our fourth submittal, the proposal that's before you here tonight, that was recommended for approval by the Planning Commission and by your own city staff. And when you drill down, when you look a little closer, taking into account all of the feedback we have received, we ultimately elected to leave an acre of the site as C2. An acre of the site that frankly will be developed in the future as office. You'll see what you see kind of shaded in there, though it's not a part of our application here tonight, was to demonstrate how office can actually work here at this location. And then we have moved the dealership as far away as possible from the condo association and reduced the size and the scale. Once again, we took the request for neighborhood outreach very seriously. We took this fourth submittal to yet another open house of all the property owners, this time within 1,000 feet, more than double the requirement, talked to the president of the association, hosted the open house, 13 people attended, of course, one planning board member and one council member. So the fourth submittal that's before you tonight, I would suggest to you, responds to the concerns that we have heard over nearly the last 2 years. Because we have eliminated now the abandonment of Test Drive, which was a concern to the condo association. We've provided for 1 acre of office development immediately adjacent to the condos as a buffer. We have reduced the size and scale of the dealership by 60%. We have moved the dealership as far away from the condos as possible, 687 feet, nearly 2 football fields away from the closest condominium unit. Again, we're proposing to improve the lighting, substantially improve the lighting from the standards that were available back in 2001. And of course, keeping all automotive service uses either eliminated, no car wash, no PA system, or enclosed within the building. So I would suggest to you, we have actually kept the promise by giving the neighbors what they've asked for, an office at the entry to their community, by reducing the size and scale of the dealership by nearly 60%, by pushing the auto dealership to the far western edge of the site, nearly 2 football fields away from the closest unit, by providing superior lighting technology, by enclosing all the automotive repair uses within the building, by giving the building the look and feel of an office building, and by spending over 20 months, talking to, meeting with, trying to work with the neighbors to create a reasonable solution that addresses their concerns but permits the development of this property in a way that benefits Mesa. I should also mention, we do have a lot of community support submitted with your packets, 135 letters in support, 138 signed petitions from all of the surrounding businesses that want to see this vacant parcel put to productive use. We also have the recommendation of approval, unanimous recommendation of approval, from your Economic Development Advisory Board. And finally, when you consider the economic benefit, I know this council appreciates what car dealerships do for communities, but you're looking at $2.7 million of capital investment to this vacant, underutilized site. You're looking at 25 jobs with a combined annual base salary of $2 million. You're looking at generating annual sales tax revenue for the city of Mesa, annual revenue of $1.4 million. For things like parks, for things like public safety. And finally, in summary, I would ask you to respectfully approve this case tonight. One of my top 10 reasons as I wrap this up is because a thriving automotive dealership is better for Mesa than a vacant, undeveloped parcel, because it will provide dollars and jobs to Mesa, because it's consistent with the general plan, which was recently approved by your voters, because it will reduce traffic in the area, because we have presented a superior lighting solution by all accounts, because we are providing 1 acre of office as an appropriate land use transition, because we have reoriented and moved the buildings to reduce any perceived impact, because we have worked hard for 20 months with the neighbors to try and address their concerns, and because we have the support of the surrounding businesses. Because we have committed to continuing to work with the neighbors and staff through the design review process to address their concerns. And finally, because 15 years is long enough for a site to be vacant in the mixed-use activity center that should be put to productive use. I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Rideau. Council, any questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you, Ms. Rideau. We'll hear now from those who have asked to speak on this item. We have one card speaking in favor, Mr. Brian Jeffries. Brian, would you please come forward and state your address, and you have 3 minutes to speak. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Brian Jeffries. Address is 52 South Center Street in Mesa, and I'm here off duty representing the United Mesa Firefighters Association. Just wanted to raise a few points. I've watched the development of this project for quite some time. I myself got my foray into politics 30 years ago when they were building a Home Depot behind Linden, my house. And what I quickly recognized going through that process and learning about planning and zoning and everything I'd participate in later was that we weren't going to be able to stop commercial project because we moved behind C2 property. But what we could do is participate and try to make concessions and work together on lighting issues and traffic issues and noise issues and all the things that you do. But I want to bring another light to this project as well, is that having been working with this city for a long time, our city is still struggling financially. I don't think we've come out of the recession as well as we thought we could. I don't see cranes like I do to some of our neighboring cities. And From the public safety point of view, you guys were looking at yet more housing projects and whatnot just in an earlier study session to happen here in downtown Mesa. Well, we're still two fire trucks short of where we were prior to the Great Recession. Our response times have gone up over 75 seconds. The very air packs that we're wearing on our backs were bought by the federal government, not by the city of Mesa. And this wonderful CS project that we have, our community service units, they're out there responding day to day, trying to do our best to be as efficient and effective as we can, given this environment we're working in, are also funded by the federal government. And those grants all run out in 2018. And we're still looking for what the strategic plan is going to be to help finance these things. And these are the basic services that this community needs when they call 911 every day and use our parks and a lot of the other the libraries, et cetera. And so I'm concerned about, this community said no to a primary property tax years ago, and that's fine. But we look at a project that has the potential to bring in the kind of millions of dollars that this community needs to keep its vital city services as it goes through this evolution of age and change, especially on the west side of Mesa. I would strongly urge you to consider what that means to the long-term health of this community and what those services mean to all the residents throughout this community. So I'm here on behalf of your firefighters in support of this project. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Jeffries. We do have several cards submitted to speak against the proposal. So, folks, I would just ask that to the extent you feel like someone before you may have covered some of your points, that you can please think about consolidating, because we do have, I think, eight or nine folks that have asked to speak. We'll begin with Mr. David Peterson. Mr. Peterson, please state your address, and you have 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you very much, Mayor Giles and distinguished members of the council. It is really a privilege to meet with you tonight, and it's my intention to speak truth to power. At the height of the Revolutionary War, when the outcome was seriously in doubt, General George Washington called a war council. In an obscure country farmhouse on December 24, 1776, in the depths of a winter snowstorm near the Delaware River, he proposed a bold initiative to cross the river by longboats before sunrise, march 8 miles undiscovered in snow, hail, and wind to attack the Hessian force in the employ of Great Britain, the world's greatest military power at that time, on Christmas night at Trenton. With great emotion, he said to his men, quote, "We fight to be free. This is our land. This is our home. And because we fight to be free, it is victory or death," end quote. This became the password for the attack, victory or death. It was a total commitment. To the surprise of the world, the Hessians were defeated without one American death. Tonight, we meet on the 284th anniversary of the birth of George Washington. In that obscure farmhouse, on a snowy Christmas Eve night, the spirit of America was born. What does this zoning case have to do with the staggering consequences of the Revolutionary War? Only this. Each generation must still define itself against the moral choices it faces. We define ourselves by the actions we take and the decisions we make. For Washington and his meager and ill-equipped army in 1776, it was duty, honor, country, and keeping the promise of the Declaration. For you, it is truly an important decision. It could not be clearer what the honorable choice and moral imperative calls for you to do: to uphold Mesa's promise and covenant of May 21st, 2001, found in Ordinance number 3889, Stipulation 16. As we've heard, to allow LC uses only on lots F and G, All other uses are forbidden. The moral imperative driving this case is crystal clear. A promise was made by the Mesa City Council. It must be upheld. Citizens have relied upon that promise. They are seeking justice tonight. Karen K. Taylor, counsel to DMB Associates, the master developer of the Superstition Springs Auto Mall, in a letter dated April 9, 2001, to the Superstition Lakes neighbors, by the way, a copy of this was provided to you at the last study session. She wrote, "Dear Superstition Lakes neighbor, as promised, we are continuing to address your concerns. The two commercial pads within our proposal are located closest to Superstition Lakes condominiums. In response to neighbor concerns, we have agreed to limit the uses on these pads to only C2, limited commercial uses. The auto retail portions of the property are proposed to be located more than 900 feet from the closest residential unit within your community. The majority of the residential units are located much further than 1,000 feet. I will wrap it up.
Thank you.
Mrs. Taylor says then that this agreement is a commitment on their part. It was a commitment on the part of the city council, and we believe it should be authorized and continue. Let me just close with 30 seconds, please. Thank you. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, said of President Washington, "The strength of his character, quote, lay in his integrity, his love of justice, his fortitude, the soundness of his judgment, and his remarkable prudence, to which he joined an elevated sense of patriotic duty. Tonight, we ask the same of you, that you disapprove a proposal that is contrary to the promise of the city in 2001, that you vote unanimously to oppose this matter, which is so contrary to the matters that I have discussed and presented to you tonight. Thank you very much for your attention."
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. The next person that's asked to speak is Johnette Davidson. Ms. Davidson, if you could please state your address, and you two will have 3 minutes.
I'm sorry, your it's still on.
It's a little frightening when we're relying on my technical skills, but.
Thank you.
Hopefully that gets you.
I hope so. Jim Claridge, wouldn't you mind stepping forward and helping me, sir? I'm so sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being patient, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Johnette Davidson. I live at 6535 East Superstition Springs Boulevard, Unit 205, Mesa, Arizona. That's a view out my window. I hope you all wake up to such a beautiful view. As I look over this board, the only one I think that was here was Mr. Kavanaugh in 2001, so you are the one that has the most history to this situation. I'm on the board of directors for Superstition Lakes Resort Condominiums, and I'm standing here representing not only myself, but the homeowners of Superstition Lakes condos. Those owners expect the board to defend their property values, and that's one of the charges that's given to the board by the state of Arizona. The Board of Superstition Lakes Condos has hosted town hall meetings. We took a vote in 2008 to have an official stance against any further encroachment by the auto dealership. And recently that vote, the board voted to maintain that position. There's over $22 million worth of real estate in our condominium complex. Current owners, including the most recent purchasers of condos, had confidence that their investment was secure because of the restriction currently in place preventing any further encroachment of the auto mall. I was one of the first owners in 1999, and I was one of the original owners who fought the auto mall in 2001. Developer DMV got their auto mall approved over our protest. The city of Mesa got their increased tax base. And lots F and G in the wisdom of the city council, they determined that lots F and G would be zoned light commercial or C2 with caveats, many caveats. Some of the things that were shown up here were not to be allowed on this, even though they're C2. Cardinale didn't really consider any of our ideas for this. We had not much input at all. Our hope was for some creative thinking of maybe a garden office complex or maybe a medical facility or perhaps an exercise facility. Cardinale owns 19 different dealerships in Arizona, Nevada, and California. They're quite a rich company. And we thought maybe they would take this 3.5 acres and put their home office here and rent out the other part of the building and make some money on it. So there's a creative idea. It was not considered. We want city officials to be careful not to be beguiled that money can buy anything on the planet. Those of us who purchased our condos relied upon the protection that was guaranteed to us in 2001. Mesa's 2040 general plan clearly states that they would discourage the approval of projects which are typically considered incompatible with or detrimental to surrounding neighborhoods or having an adverse effect on property values. You wouldn't put a tire repair shop next to a nursing home because of the air compressors, the noisiness of it. It would be inappropriate. You wouldn't put a prison next to a schoolyard. It would be inappropriate. We feel that putting a car dealership any closer to our complex is inappropriate due to the garish lights, the noxious odors, and the noisy delivery system. The issue tonight is the requirement of the city of Mesa to reject any proposal to rezone these two lots. There was no expiration date on the seal that was put on the document that would keep these lots as light commercial for perpetuity. The citizens of our community.
But you are about a minute over your
three minutes. Thank you. I was one sentence.
Thank you.
We would like you to keep the promises made in 2001 by voting no. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davidson.
You're welcome.
The next person who's asked to speak is David Schufner.
Oh, that's good.
Hold on, David.
Mr. Mayor and council members, my name is David Schufner, and I co-own Unit 105 in Superstition Lakes Condos at 6535 East Superstition Springs Boulevard. I'm going to speak about the latest Cardinale proposal, and there have been many, versus the Mesa 2040 general plan and its challenge to the ordinance with stipulation 16. If you approve this rezone, Cardinale's new dealership lights will be within 275 feet of our patio. By comparison, his current Mazda dealership lot lighting is 950 feet away, and at that distance is already sufficiently obnoxious to our and all of the Superstition Lakes condo buildings that face lots F and G, as shown in the picture that Wendy showed. Thus, the latest Cardinale proposal is fundamentally inconsistent with the Mesa 240 general plan. It is not in compliance with the plan's principal message centered on establishing great neighborhoods. Free from incompatible development, it's the wrong project in the wrong place. We as a neighborhood are extremely concerned about the detrimental effect on our property values, especially if an automobile sales and service operation for new and used autos is placed directly adjacent to our residential community. The Mesa General Plan also recognizes the interests of its citizens. Quoting from the plan, neighborhoods are where we live, end quote. For many people, their most significant investment ever is their home. And thus, the plan says that area should be free from services or businesses perceived as threatening to their well-being, end quote. Back in 2001, the passage of Stipulation 16 was an integral part of the approval. That 3.2 acres was the buffer that provided us with the negative impacts of those automobile dealerships that were approved at that time. So that was the most important concession, and we would expect the city of Mesa to keep their legal word and promise to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scheffner.
I have a few extra seconds.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate it. Nancy Scheffner.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and council members. Yes, my name is Nancy Scheffner, and I live with that man in Unit 105, which is in the second building. And we have owned our home for 16 years at that location come May. So we are a pretty stable community for condos. Today I'm coming to talk to you about trust. We believe Cardinale took the business gamble to buy lots F and G after the city of Mesa had instated stipulation number 16. As we heard from attorney Wendy Rydell at the last planning commission meeting, we are in the middle of a process. In this process, Cardinale set out to crush their opposition at all costs. I guess they thought the homeowners would move or change character and that the Mesa governmental bodies would abandon their promises in the 2001 compromise that was legally instituted by seals and signatures. Our trust in this process has been knocked many times, and one example was their promise with the work of the homeowners on architecture. Now, this has been covered somewhat tonight with the opposition here, so I will try not to go into this in as much detail, but what they have presently there is one ugly orange and chartreuse, neon and galvanized corrugated steel facade. And that's really bothersome to us, so we're hoping that there's a better compromise there somewhere. They had promised neighbors in that compromise that they would let our board look at their architectural drawings to give approval to the results, and this never happened. In that compromise, there was also the agreement for tree planting condo owners. Condo owners were to choose the trees and plant the trees, and they did this. But Cardinale did not follow through on their promise to water the trees. And so we would like everybody to see, Dale's holding it up. This was made public at the time of the tree planting and what went on. And we are, our homeowners actually planted those trees. We are concerned that if another compromise plan is passed, it can still be modified to their liking without us knowing until after it is a fact. As was true in the present Cardinale Mazda dealership architecture and landscaping. And there was a trust situation with lights also, but I won't go into that tonight. We are aware that with the process, anything can happen. They can come back and whittle away at this new compromise if it does pass by asking for a rezone on the acre parcel that is now stipulated for office building. Wendy Rydell said that the redesigned lot would be the buffer zone to our front garden. But that is not our building windows or our patios. After the community outreach meeting of March of 2015 regarding FNG, we learned that the pictures were taken with a drone. Since we were frankly shocked that they could use a drone without our knowledge, and since the pictures did not show the truth, as the pictures were basically taken over a tree, we invited them to come to take photographs from our patio in the late afternoon and evening to see and record the effect of the glare from the present Cardinal Mazda dealership. And they did do this, and I think these people are here tonight.
I'm sorry, Ms. Schuffner, you are about a minute over your three minutes.
We haven't seen any pictures shown by them from this time, proving in our mind that the glare we see from the patio at night is not minimal. And I'll jump ahead. To my last comment.
Okay.
Can we trust Mesa? As a city, does it stand behind their legal documents of seals, and can a dangling carrot of money chisel away their moral strength and honesty? That is our question and our concern.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Schuffner. Next person who's asked to speak is Raul Dorman. I apologize, sir, if I mispronounced your name.
But you did very well.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Dorman, could you please state your address, and then there is a monitor up there that tells you what your time is.
Right. 6535 East Superstition Springs Boulevard, as is everyone, Unit 267.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, council members, we bought our condominium in January of 2000, and one of the motivating factors was the fact that the zoning of the property across from the entrance was at that time C2. Obviously quite compatible with residential. Shortly thereafter, the first application came in for the auto mall. We almost just sold at that point because we had wanted no part of the noise, emissions, lights, etc., involved with an auto dealership. Board members spoke to us and said, hang on, we're working on this and we may come up with a compromise. Well, May of 2001, there was a three-party agreement, which you're all familiar with. Developer, City of Mesa, and the Superstition Lakes Condominium Association. Okay? Part of that development was Stipulation 16, and that was the motivating factors for us to remain here. That's why we're still here. That's why I'm here tonight. That's why a lot of people who had bought condominiums didn't just sell. That's why new people coming in, buying our condominiums, have bought them, because they believed that there was a firm, sound, irrevocable agreement. Stip 16 says there's 3.2-acre buffer zone, okay? Lots of FNG. At that time, it was also stated that this was the minimum size, and this was stated by the developer, to properly separate the incompatible land usage of an auto dealership versus residential properties. Now, Cardinal has approached this thing several times. They bought this property with full knowledge of what the zoning was. We stayed, and other people bought the condominiums based upon Stipulation 16. What did the May 2001 agreement give to people? DMB, the developer, got the right to develop it permanently. It's a permanent development. The City of Mesa received a permanent increase in its tax revenue base. The Superstition Lakes Condominium Association was granted a permanent protection by the establishment of the buffer zone to eliminate the conflict between two totally incompatible land usages. I expect, and I believe, that most of the owners in our condominium association, in fact, when you think about it, probably every property owner in the City of Mesa should expect that if the City of Mesa is to live up to its agreements, when it says, okay, we agree, and by golly, they put the stamp and the seal of the city on it. I believe the only reason, or one of the prime reasons we're here, is the fact that the city seems to have a great need to increase its tax revenue. Gentlemen, the way to do it is not by violating a solemn agreement with citizens of your city. If the city of Mesa has a true need for more money, and I appreciate what the fireman said, go to the entire city, explain the need, and increase the tax rates for everyone. I don't think it is at all fair and just to place the burden on the homeowners in our project. What you're trying to do here, or what will be the result, is that we will suffer quite a diminution of our value. The noise, the lights, the emissions are going to ruin our ability to enjoy our property, and therefore the value of it. This is not the way that a really good operating government does things. Forget everything else. This is now really a moral issue. And I think every property owner makes...
Mr. Dorman,
I'll hurry up.
You're about a minute and a half over, so it seems like you're winding down, so
okay.
I hesitate to...
What I'm saying is, I think the entire city of Mesa needs to look at this situation. Do the right thing. Do the fair and just thing, which is deny this application. And in fact, I think if it's really done properly, you would just make it known that you're not going to entertain any future applications to change F&G because the city made a solemn agreement and is going to live up to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dorman. Next is James Claridge.
My name is James D. Claridge. I live at 6535E Superstition Springs, number 161. And as your admonishment, I only have two things to point out. One of them is that the mixed use, it has all of the components in there, and one of the things that we have is on either side of the freeway, we have the quota has been met for dealerships in that area. The other thing is, thanks to Wendy, I was the one that said when we look at this, we need to present something else that they might do. I was the one that designed the park to be there. I noticed it on Mesa Drive and Southern. There's a new park there that's ready to open, and I think that's from the city. And why couldn't we have a park in our area? There's a high-density area of people there that would use that and work with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Claridge. Next is Michael Connor.
Good evening. 6535 East Superstition Springs Boulevard. My name is Michael Connor. I own two properties at this at the condos. My everybody's covered most everything. What I want to add is this dealership, when they came in originally, they were going to put certain lighting in. Then they couldn't, and they put different lighting in. And when we came to the city, they went, oh, well. They also said that they weren't going to have semi-trucks delivering at odd hours of the night because their dealerships aren't open. They don't deliver cars when no one's there. That's a crock. Those trucks come in at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. I've seen them out there. They're unloading these cars, and I don't know if you ever watched a car hauler be loaded or unloaded, but if the car's in the front, it's all the way down those ramps. And I even asked a guy about 6 years ago, why are you unloading right now? It's like 5:15 in the morning. So when the dealer opens, I can deliver the cars. I got a schedule to keep. When the guys didn't want to pre-unload their cars, they would park in this area right by these lots that are dark. So the lights weren't bothering them so they could sleep in their semis. So their heating or air conditioning can be working. And the diesel fuel from their engine running comes into these front condos. I'm in the opposite side of the front building, and 167 is where my unit is. And you can smell this diesel. And I can assure you, nobody in this room, you guys or this dealership, would appreciate having this noise, having the lighting issues that we've dealt with over the course of time, and knowing it's going to decrease the value of this property. They don't live there. They live in their houses, and they, you know, All that land was there. We negotiated a deal with this city. And now all this time, and now the city's trying to go back on saying, well, we can change things if we want. I'm asking you, don't let our development take the hit financially just so the city can pay for the fire, the police. I understand they need it. My brother-in-law's a police officer with the city of Mesa. I hear it all the time from him how tough it is, and I get it. But I don't think that homeowners in there and investors in there should have to pay the price because this multi-billion dollar dealership owner can just come in and start running around and telling you guys how much tax dollars he's bringing to you. It's great, but this isn't the location for it. I appreciate your time, and I would hope you all vote no. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Connor. The final request I have to speak is from Dale Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. My name is Dale Davidson. I reside at 6535 East Superstition Springs Boulevard, Unit 205. Have been there since the beginning. We were the second public people that bought a lot in Superstition Lakes condos. I've been involved in this zoning issue from the beginning. I was one of the guys that planted those 220 trees you showed me hold a picture of up there a while ago. Today there's only about 65 of them still there because the agreement to water them and take care of them by Cardinale was not done. So now those trees are gone. I was also one of the people that in 2001 that assured our members that, hey, we do have an agreement with the city of Mesa. We have these people standing behind us. They've got our back. We're going to have a good arrangement here. We're going to be 900 feet away from the nearest automobile dealership. We can live with this. And now I find out that that's no longer going to be valid if Cardinale gets their way. I also told the community members that the 900-foot distance would be enforced by the city, so we don't have to worry about it. They're going to take care of us. They've got our back. Well, now I'm back before this council to ask you to stand behind the agreement that was made in 2001. Are we now to be told that the city seal has an expiration date? Are we now to be told that agreements with the city are only temporary and can be changed unilaterally by a vote of the planning and zoning board and this board at any time? I hope not. Also, I'm very concerned about the language in the proposal. It's undefined and imprecise. What in the world is contextually inappropriate noise? What does that sound like? Who's going to determine if it's violated or not? Similarly, what is contextually inappropriate smoke, odor, dust, and vibration? And what about this lighting technology so the surrounding owners will not experience any light intrusion? Who's going to measure light intrusion? What is it going to, the standard it's going to be measured against? How will we as homeowners be able to say that Cardinale has exceeded these limits? Previous experience with Cardinale would say that they will determine what is acceptable and we'll have no recourse. Council members, this should not be acceptable to you, and I assure you it's not acceptable to us. The homeowners in Superstition Lakes do not request any further restrictions on Cardinale. The zoning was there when they bought the property. We simply request that the original agreement be honored. We believe we have a right to a quiet, secure, protected, attractive, and well-managed neighborhood, free of repeating threats to have those rights brought into question at any time. The extension of the Auto Mall threatens each of these points. As homeowners, we've put in place covenants, restrictions, guidelines to protect these points. We expect the same consideration from the city of Mesa. Help us protect our land values and our properties. Again, I ask you, who's going to measure these commitments Cardinale is putting forth? Against what standards? And who will enforce these standards when we believe they have been exceeded? I greatly fear that we as homeowners will have no voice in enforcing these commitments. Please understand that we as homeowner group are not opposed to development of this parcel of land. We simply request that it be developed less intrusively as agreed to previously, limited commercial. We were told previously that this parcel could not be developed as an office site because there's no demand for offices in Mesa. Yet there are new office constructions going on right now on Baseline and right directly, diametrically across our property from this site we're talking about. There's an office condo area that is fully occupied, and the parking lot is full every day because people come in and use those businesses. This is not just a zoning matter. It's a moral obligation by the city of Mesa to protect its citizens and stand by its commitments. To that end, I respectfully request that the Automotive Group, that the Mesa City Council disapprove the petition of the Cardinale Automotive Group to eliminate Stipulation 16 and Ordinance Number 3889. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. I will note that I have two additional cards. They have both of these appears to be husband and wife have asked not to speak, but they do want to, for the record, note that they oppose the zoning case, Greg and Diane Faley and Robert and Sharon Rosinski. Council, any discussion on this item? Mr. Thompson.
You know, this was, when I was sworn in January of 2015, this was one of the first projects that hit my desk in February of 2015. And I've followed it very closely. I've watched it very closely. I've attended one of the public meetings on it, or the open houses. I've sent plans back to the developer because I didn't think it was good enough numerous times. Eight iterations of planning of plans have hit my desk, each one a little bit better than the last. I was a little perturbed, I guess, or disappointed perhaps, in the iteration before this last one that came in, where there was, I know the dealership was looking to put in upwards of over $1 million worth of development in there, or landscaping, a private drive, a park that they were going to maintain for you, landscaping, they were going to bring a separate drive in. I thought for sure that one would be the one. And again, it met with opposition. And I think the developers have been over backwards to accommodate. For me, I always try to find a way to say yes. And I've always put it back to the developers to work with the members in the community to find a way to say yes. And after eight iterations and they're still saying no, that tells me that you're not willing to compromise and you're not going to be happy with anything that goes in there. So for that reason, I started looking at this. To me, it is a simple zoning change. And so for me, I will support the dealership, and I look forward to working with them.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Any other discussion, Council? Mr. Fenter.
Thank you. I'll throw in my two cents. And in the almost 8 years that I've been on Council, I've heard about this. I've heard the history behind it. Really good folks here. You're trying to do the best thing for what you're doing, your complex, and protect your homes. No animosity at all to the way you've presented and what you're trying to do. I would suggest to you, we are your fellow citizens. We have been asked to we've been asked to sit in judgment and look at these items. That's what we've been elected to do. It's the check and balance in the system. We're often asked to have the wisdom of Solomon to be able to say, look at situations and go, how do you divide this baby? And I don't, for the most part, I don't think any of us generated this situation, but now we're asked to look at it. I would suggest to you kindly, it has been inferred or implied or specifically mentioned that once this thing is done, it is never to be changed. The seal is set, and that is not the case when it comes to zoning. Throughout the city, we sit often for these controversial cases. I've seen neighborhoods pitted against each other and people storming out of this room and throwing papers and people that you wouldn't expect to be acting like that. But we're asked to try and make the best decision. I would give you my personal philosophy and my apologies to my fellow council members. They've heard this. So 33 years of marriage, raising three teenagers, working in a family business, and now doing this service to the community, I have learned that my way or the highway is not a successful way to look at these processes. Looking for compromise to be able to work together and see if there's a way that some compatibility and some protections for all parties can occur is what I would always suggest. It appears to me that there's been a tremendous amount of give and take in this situation. I'm going to be supportive of this going forward. I don't want anybody to feel like they've been betrayed, that somehow some solemn promise has been violated. Zoning issues and land use issues are very flexible throughout the state of Arizona, and I would suggest that your private property rights are as extremely important as the private property rights of the individual owning the property next to you. So you've asked me to make a tough decision. I look at it as a whole, and I would say that I would support this rezoning effort going through. I do appreciate the compromise. May not be perfect for everyone, but it seems like it's the right direction to go, that all can be able to have the highest and best use of their land. So thanks.
All right. Thank you, Council. Any other comments? We do have a motion that has been made for approval and a second. Please cast your vote. The votes are Luna, Giles, Richenspinter, Thompson in favor, Kavanaugh nay, and Glover is excused absence.
And Mayor, just to clarify, that was for agenda item 9A.
Thank you. Like you said,
we're going to do separate motions. So
thank
we're
you,
taking
Mr.
them in order.
For reminding me of that. So that was for agenda item 9A. I would now entertain a motion for agenda item 9B. Motion has been made by Mr. Thompson, seconded by Mr. Richens. Please cast your vote. Similar vote, Mr. Glover's absent, Luna, Giles, Richens, Finter, Thompson in favor, Mr. Kavanaugh opposed. So both motions pass. Next item on our agenda is item 10, items from citizens present. Ms. Mickelson, do we have any requests to speak?
No request, Mayor.
Thank you. Move to adjourn. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We are adjourned.